Most of you don't remember me that way, do you? It's interesting when you get into the children back then. My daughter was about his age, and my son was up 2 years back, and it was a different group of teenagers. And his group was a group. And then when my son's group came along, they all just seemed to do what you wanted them to do. But these people like to do what they wanted to do. And one time I was in Florida, he wasn't in the group, and I was supposed to be chaperoning these teenagers. If you ever go to Florida at Disneyland and try and chaperone three or four teenagers that don't want to be chaperoned, that was the big one. But they were all really good children. I still like him, and I thank you for the compliments that you've given me. Now, Tracy, which is my son, we sat in the same office together, and sometimes things ease up a little bit. We begin to talk about things. We begin to talk about the problems that our employees were having and other people that we know in the world, and you can see why they're having these problems when you're sitting back looking at it. We discuss how much they create their own problems and how some of them could be avoided, or a lot of them could be avoided. They follow the lust of their flesh, and they follow the ways of this world. Now, some of these problems that could be avoided is by following the knowledge that's available to everybody today. We'll give you an example of three employees. One is my appliance man. He was off work for a month. He took all kind of tests, and when they got done, they said his problem was diet, smoking, and anxiety. Part of this anxiety is from not controlling your emotions. And I told him in the 2 years he's worked for me, I'm going to get a big block of cement or a block and hook it onto his belt. Slow down. And he worked for me 2 years, and in a whole month, he was taking all kind of tests, and they can't find anything wrong with him. They asked him to quit smoking. He won't do it. Kenny, another man who works for me, had two heart attacks and a stroke before I knew him. A lot of this was caused by his blood being too thick, and it was hereditary, but they tell him to quit smoking, and he won't do it. Now, the third person that worked for me, 44 years old, has had a heart attack, one in 2000, one in 2005, and one December the 28th. This one, he had a 5 bypass surgery. He was also told to quit smoking. He hasn't. He has now, I think. He's telling the other guys to quit. He's not back to work yet because his kidney shut down after the 5 bypass surgery, and he's had all kinds of problems. Other problems we see are caused by people not keeping the Ten Commandments. But I also see problems in the church when I look around and see other people. Why, if we're keeping the Ten Commandments and we're striving to live by the Word of God, why do we still have problems? Well, when I thought about that, I thought about an article that Mr. Armstrong wrote, and the title of it was The Christian Fight. Now, this title alone shows we're going to have problems and we're going to have trials. But I'm going to stress here, you can reduce these trials. You can avoid a lot of them, and I'm going to show you, hopefully show you some how you can do it. This Christian fight had three deadly enemies. Now, it's interesting that the very first verse, he said that they tend to discourage us from overcoming sin and developing the very character of God. And you hear this in a lot of my sermons. I'm beginning to realize that's what the whole thing was about. It's what Mr. Armstrong is about. We've got to develop the character of God. When I looked at this, the very first paragraph in this article, he mentions developing the character of God. I never realized before how much he did mention this, how much he stressed the character of God, and how much God stresses in the Bible that we need to develop the character of God, which I'll cover some of that in a little. There. Then he said the purpose God created man and put him on this earth was to develop the character in us. Now I want to bring out a point here. You can keep the holy days. You can keep the Sabbath. You can do all these maybe better than people in the church. But that does not develop the character of God. It's more than keeping the Sabbath, and it's more than keeping the holy days. Headquarters proved that to us in 1990 to 1995. They lied, they deceived us, and some of those men kept the holy days longer than any of us have ever done it. Keeping the holy days is there, we should do it. This begins to show God our love for him. And we show God our love for him by the holy days, then we should surrender our will to God's will. Now these three enemies that was brought out in this article that we have to fight, one is our human nature, the second is the world around us and all of its influence, and the third is Satan the devil. I'm mainly going to cover the first one in this sermon. I'm going to add a sort of a fourth one. It's really not a fourth one. This one falls under our own human nature, which in this article says we have to conquer before we can really develop God's character. There is one aspect of our human nature that we have to learn to control before we can grow spiritually. I'm quoting the article. And what made me start reading this article, a person in the church asked me about our emotions. What should we do? What's our normal reaction when someone crosses you and arouses your emotions? So I started thinking about that a couple of months ago, and then I remembered an article that Mr. Armstrong wrote. The title of this is "Their Hidden Enemy in Your Home." There's a hidden enemy in everybody's home, and that's their uncontrolled emotions. So we have to learn to control them. The subtitle here says, "Have we been overlooking the very first lesson in true Christian living? Controlling your emotions. Have we been overlooking that?" The hidden enemy in your home is your emotions, or I will say your uncontrolled emotions. We're supposed to have emotions. It's good. We have emotions of love and joy. And we have emotions of grief. Where sometimes you get together and it's proper to have the proper grief. But uncontrolled emotions can cause a lot of heartaches in your life. And they can also prevent you from developing God's character. They can cause divorce, and they can cause wife beaten, children being beaten. And then, interestingly enough, I get this in the mail from the St. John's Hospital. It's two big titles here. This is a new hospital or a section they're opening. Anger Management Group Learns to Handle Emotions. Now we have a whole hospital section that people do not control their emotions. And we have a professional in this field smiling right now. So the next one is a new therapy available for chronic depression. These are all related to our emotions. Now, what's a definition of your emotions? And here's what Mr. Armstrong wrote in. It's the technical art of putting into practice the Ten Commandments. Now, when I read that, I said, what's that got to do with the Ten Commandments? But I found out after I read a little bit farther, but I'm going to rephrase that. If you have uncontrolled emotions, you will never keep the Ten Commandments and develop God's character if your emotions run wild. Then in this article, it says the real secret to human happiness is these controlled emotions, but it is not taught. And I'm going to stress that a lot of you have children here. Your parents, you need to teach your children to control their emotions. It's very essential, especially if you want them to grow spiritually. If they have overcome that part of their life, it'll be a lot easier to grow spiritually. Then he said, one author defines emotional maturity as developing from the state and the art of taking to the state of giving. Now, this was another person that said that. So, of course, it's natural for us to want to take. We have lust. We have desires to have. So it's natural to take. starts when we're babies, when we want things. But again, to give has to be taught. Now, there is a few people you would know, and if any of you know my wife has naturally has a nature to give. Sally Emma always said, if she ever got called and got the Holy Spirit, she'd make me look bad. And maybe that's why God didn't call her at this time. But she has, I have to actually control her, for sometimes it doesn't pay to give. Sometimes it doesn't pay to do too much for people. So I actually have to help her, but she has the wanting to give and to help people. But the rest of us in this congregation, it has to be taught. Now, Mr. Armstrong later on broke down that the Bible, God is two-way. God is, give is God's way, take is Satan's way. Take is our human nature. Now, I want to define what an emotion is. He said, an emotion is a strong feeling, which is a departure from your normal actions, from your normal calm state and rational thinking. Now, here, uncontrolled emotion is an impulse which has not been reasoned and approved by the mind. I'm going to say that again. An uncontrolled emotion is an impulse that you have and it not has been reasoned out or controlled by the mind, which causes us to depart from God's character. If we get angry and we get mad, we're not keeping God's commandments. And it's caused by your emotions. We have fear, anger, disgrief, joy, surprise. But just some of the things that I've read in the paper recently, a guy was mad at his girlfriend, I think. He butted her in the head, she fell to the ground, and then he got down and bit her lip. Uncontrolled emotions. We have arguments in families. Maybe you do in yours. It's uncontrolled emotions. I've seen at funerals, and I think I read an article about it once, when a person climbs in the grave, I mean in the casket, with their father or whoever it is. And if there's two people there, two sisters, we'll say, one climbs in the casket and the other one doesn't, does that one love their father or more than the other one? One has more controlled emotions. The other one might love more, but is able to cry and show their emotions without climbing in a casket. Man shakes a baby to death. We read that in the paper a lot. A woman shoots her husband. Basketball players go up and fight and get mad and get kicked out. Uncontrolled emotions. Now, it's not illegal in football. They try and hurt somebody. You Colts fans. And I follow them, but I'm not a big sports person, but I do follow it some. But I see in football, they want to hurt Manning. They love to bend him backwards and twist him around so he can't play anymore. But now, basketball, that don't count. Now, when I played basketball, I kept getting called on fouls because I started playing basketball when I was 35, 36 years old in the church. And I would reach around and somebody would blow the whistle. Not supposed to touch him. It's a sport, non-contact sport. Something's changed. And then I finally learned that you don't touch anybody and you stand back. And then I tell you when I quit playing basketball. When the basketball was, say, is there, and Tim Merrill was at that chair, and he beat me to that basketball, I knew it was time to quit. Now, they used to think I was good because when they got the ball, they would look down and I was at the other end. They thought I was on a fast break. I was on my way down. My daughter used to laugh at me but we played for years and had a good time, and then finally the younger generation took over. Here's another one. You ever have an argument with your mate or somebody and they get up and leave the room? Sometimes that's uncontrolled emotions. Other times, with my wife, she never got up and left the room, but she starts to cry and so forth, and I learn to shut up and wait till the next day and learn to discuss it because it's an emotion that she doesn't get into. It isn't an uncontrolled emotion. It's an emotion that she was crying, and she knows she better just stop right now before she goes farther. And I have learned to stop, believe it or not. Now, first cousin to emotion is our moods. An emotional, immature person is one who usually is moody and hasn't learned to control his moods. You need to teach your children to control their moods. And let me show you how important that is. I had a guy that works for me. He's worked for me a little over a year. Very moody and very pouty. To make a long story short, I went up to him Thursday and I said, cheer up. I mean, get out of your pouty mood and start helping your other man here. What do you mean? And he got all upset. And I said, we won't discuss it now. You just get out of that mood and start helping the guy you're supposed to be helping. He pulled out his charge card that buys gas with him, puts it down, and walks out. Uncontrolled emotions. If them were taught to him when he was young. Now, they were taught to me. My parents used to send me upstairs to my bedroom, which didn't have a TV. I didn't have a computer, radio, stereo, iPod, or anything. I had a bed. And I'd go up there and sit on this bed, and I could sit there for a while, and then I would yell downstairs, Mom, can I come down? And she says, are you done pouting? And I said, yes. She said, you can come down. So she taught me not to pout. So later on, when I get ready to pout, my mind, remember the definition, my mind would reason the action and disprove of it because I didn't like the punishment or the result. So I wouldn't do it because I didn't want to get punished. So punishment works if it's done in the right method. Proverbs 29:19 says, a servant cannot be corrected by mere words. Though he understands, he will not respond. And I have this laying on my desk at home. For a lot of times you try and let your employees do more and more, and then I realize a servant will not understand. He might understand, but he won't do it. Children sometimes understand. But if there's not any punishment to it, they won't do it. Sometimes it takes more than words. Hopefully, we can read God's word and be corrected by it without having other punishment. This works for employees as well as for children. Even in the church, that's why God tells us to put people out of the church. 1 Corinthians 5 says, turn them over to Satan so that they might be saved in the day of wrath. Now that used to happen when I remember back when I was first in the church. It really even upset my stomach. Because a lot of things God tells us to do is not according to what we would like to do. But there is reason for it. So God intended man's mind to direct his actions. He didn't give us instinct, as you've heard Mr. Armstrong say for years. He gave us a mind. But man has to learn to do this. He can never achieve, I'm again quoting this article, God's purpose in placing him on this earth until he learns to do that. The development of right character is the purpose of human life. And as you've heard me before, and I'm a little bit like Mr. Armstrong, I'm not going to go back to the two trees. I want to go back to developing character. Because, and I might have said it to you before, but when you tell me to quit sinning, you know, you think of the Ten Commandments. But when you tell me to develop righteous character, that tells me how I treat each one of you, each one of my employees, my wife, my children, everybody I deal with. Tells me to be patient. Tells me to esteem other people better than myself. Tells me to control my temper. Tells me not to be rude. Tells me to love people. So when you say develop the character of God, you are really expanding what I need to do. Character, and here's his definition. Character is the ability to come to the right knowledge and wisdom and then to direct the mind and the body to this right course. And when you have an emotional thing, you don't think that out. You respond quicker. Mind controlling the action of the emotions. We're not supposed to stifle the emotions. We're supposed to be able to control them. This should start in child rearing. Now, I'm going to stress that, but I'm going to tell you a story of my daughter. which will fit into his generation. But I wasn't even in church at that time, and my daughter, I don't know, I might have told her to go to her room. We were sitting at the table, and she got up and pushed that chair back. And go. I said, Brenda, come back here and sit down. She sat down, and I said, now you get up. Don't you push that chair back. You get up and go to your room in the way you should. So she got up, put the chair back nicely, turned around, started walking. I said, Brenda, come here. Sit down. She sat down. I said, now you get up. You don't show me disrespect. You get up and you go to your room. She got up. She went around the corner. Everything going good. Wham! Slammed the bedroom door. And I happened to be the bedroom. The bedroom was right there, and I was sitting here, so I knocked on the wall. Brenda, what? Come here. She came back, and I sat down, and I said, now sit down there. You get up, and then you go to your room. I said, now if you want to get in that bedroom and pound on that bed, you're welcome to do so, but don't let me hear you. So, and I was telling my wife I was going to what I was speaking on, and she said, well, we did try and teach our children to control their emotions. And if not, they'll get away from you and you'll have more problems. Parents, remember to train emotions. It involves controlling right direction, feeling, temper, impulses. It means controlling anger, jealousy, hatred, fear, grief, resentment. All these things fall under controlling emotions. Now, emotional immaturity is simply letting human nature run sway without any control of right thinking, without reading of the mind. You cannot develop godly character if you don't control your emotions. And we can physically do that to some degree. Now, God has emotions. He's going to pour out the wrath, but he isn't doing it now. If I was in charge now, I'd pour out the wrath on Iran and Iraq and half the people I know, see? Because I can't get them all to do what I want them to do. But he controls his emotion. When he does it, it will be at the right time, and he'll do it for a purpose. And the purpose will not necessarily be correction or punishment. It won't be punishment. It'll be for correction to help us to learn to live God's way and develop his character. And then Mr. Armstrong said in this article, surely no one can achieve real Christian growth and perfection until he has acquired emotional maturity. Again, we're not to nullify our emotions. I would tell you, I thought about telling you something about it, but I couldn't get into it. I wouldn't win. But I'll tell you quickly, we put our dog to sleep. That's all I'm going to tell you. And when you try it, you learn to control your emotions at that time. You know, and we do control them, but we're not supposed to stifle them. My wife and I cried together. Shouldn't have went that far. So we're not to nullify our emotions. We're to control them and put them in the proper channel. So emotions do prevent us from keeping God's Ten Commandments. Now, some churches try to create uncontrolled emotions and call it a spiritual experience. And I went to Richmond one day. They got a Baptist church, had a retreat there, and I went. And then we was on this ground. There's a particular church there, I can't think of. We went to it. And I'm sitting there, and everybody's sitting around. Nobody's speaking. Everybody's sitting around. Finally, somebody gets up and expresses their opinion. And I sit there, and pretty soon I tell my wife, that guy's going to get up next, right over there, see, Mark. But they think that they lose control of their emotions. Some are a lot worse than that. Emotion is not a spirituality. Emotion is a physical reaction. Emotion is produced by the nervous systems of the fleshly body. It is of the flesh and not of the spirit. Now, you can have a spiritual experience. You can have an emotional experience. You can come to have peace and joy and happiness and contentment. You can be thrilled because you're in God's church and because you understand his word. There's a lot of things we can have good emotions for. But if you don't have emotional maturity or was never taught it or trained it in your home when you were a youth, you still can develop it by the power of God's Holy Spirit, by surrendering to the will of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And we'll go to verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh, debtors to the flesh. We are not supposed to live after the flesh. We don't have to follow our human nature, and we don't have to let our emotions be in control. If you're in the church and you have His Spirit. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. If you don't learn to control your emotions, where you can actually develop God's character, then you can die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So we can learn to control this body. We can learn to mortify the deeds of the body. When you do this, as you're going along, you're developing the mind of Christ. That's what God wants you to do. Now, turn to Philippians 2. And we'll read verses 3 through 5. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Strife is when your emotions are roused up and you're causing a problem. You're having strife in the family or among people. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. If you're esteeming somebody else better than you, you're not going to have vainglory. You are not going to have strife because you're looking at the other person to be better than you. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Learn to give. Learn to have the right attitude. Learn to be in interest of other people. Then in verse 5, it says this, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. We are to develop the mind of God. We need to read the book. Now, do you notice here, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you. You have to let it. You have to surrender. You have to want it. You have to desire it. To esteem others better than yourselves isn't natural. To have interest in others more than you isn't your human nature. It's God's, it isn't, well, that's human nature. It's not what God wants you to have. Now, I want to give you an example of our human nature that we have to acquire. And this will, if we do, it would be worth, turn to James 3:2 and let me just cover it there. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and he's able also to bridle the whole body. So in many things, we offend people. So if we learn to control our tongue, we'll be perfect. But can you do that? If you can do that, you can control your emotions. Because it said if you control your tongue, you control your whole body. You can control what you think and what you say, and you control your emotions. But look at verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. So it tells us that we cannot control the tongue and to become perfect. So we are going to have to learn to control our emotions. So you will offend people. I will offend people. So will any minister will offend somebody. We have to learn to get over that. But look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife, strife is caused by uncontrolled emotions. Envy is an emotion. But if you have envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. In verse 15, if you're having strife in the church among yourself, if you're having this vainglory and strife, it's not from God. Here it says it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. And as I say, as I learn to develop the character of God, and I learn not to, now I got to develop not to have strife, not to have any, you know, keep everything peaceful in the family and among all and among us in the church. Is there people in the church that don't talk to each other? I'm amazed sometimes when I find out later about people Years ago, I was in this church in Indianapolis, and then I was in Muncie, and then I found out a couple had been there all their time, still smoked. And I didn't know that. They was able to hide it. You can still hold different things back. One guy in the Muncie church is giving sermonettes. One day he cussed. Uh-oh, it slipped out. He did it away from church. Of course, you know he didn't get sermonettes after that. But it shows you we can't play in two worlds. We have to learn to do it God's way. Verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Confusion and strife is caused by you not controlling your emotions and living by every word of God. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So here is all, and when you have strife again and evil work from there, you do not have the character of God. When you have God's character, you have all these things, peace and gentleness and control. You might not have them all perfectly at that time. Look at verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness, God's righteousness, not your righteousness, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So you can overcome, you can get the mind of Christ, and you can overcome and improve and quit blaming your past for your present circumstances. I have a lot of people, and I won't go into about the church, but some people out of the church, and even in the church. The reason I'm the way I am today is because the way I was raised. That's true. The reason I'm the way I was, because of the way I was raised. See, this man that just introduced me, he changed. Don't have to correct him anymore. But the way that you were, you can't constantly look back and say, I'm this way because my dad did this, or my mother did this, or I was raised this way. That's the way you were. All of us can improve and develop God's character and change. Now, suppose somebody has offended you. How do you react, and how do you solve the problem? Now, I know you've been offended because God just says you can't control the tongue, and if you can't do that, you're going to offend somebody. What do you do when somebody, especially in the church, offended you? It won't be solved by following our own human nature and our own thoughts. We have to go to God's Word and say, how do we handle this? So if we're going to be in the kingdom of God, and you're going to rule in the world tomorrow, we have to apply these rules today and in our life today. So you're offended. Matthew 18:15 says, any brother trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Nobody else, you and that person alone, and if he hears you, you have gained a brother. Now, if he doesn't hear you, take two or three witnesses. After that, if he still won't listen, tell it to the church. And if they neglect to hear the church, let him be as a heathen man. In other words, let him be a person outside of the church. They're not listening. Now, what does our human nature do when you're offended? First, we tell all of our friends. And then finally, if we're still not satisfied with it, we tell the ministry. We haven't went to the person like God said to do, and you're causing difficulty. People in the world even go to court and settle it. And the reason they do that, they go to court to win. They go to court to prove who's right. They don't go to court to humble down and say, well, you were right, and discuss it like it would if the two went together. We in the church shouldn't do any of the above that I just mentioned. We should follow God's word and his laws. And this is becoming more important in my life right now. If we have to do it God's way now, or you won't be ruined in the kingdom of God. And I'm just talking about one subject here. If I do not learn, if you offend me, to come to you first and do it God's way, and I can't do it now, what am I going to do in the kingdom of God? You are to learn how to control your emotions. You are to learn how to follow God's word. So when you're in the kingdom and you're ruling, you'll know the answers. Now, say a person doesn't come to you like they should. Let me get in trouble here. Now, if a person is offended and he doesn't come to you, then what do? Matthew 5:23. Remember, so when you remember your brother, when you're given an offering, and you remember somebody that has ought against you or somebody that's against you, leave your gift at the altar. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and give the gift. Now, I don't know that anybody's offended here, but my whole purpose of this, if we don't learn to live by God's word, we can't rule in the world tomorrow. In every facet that we read here, we've got to learn to surrender to God's word. Emotional maturity develops hand in hand with physical, mental, and spiritual growth. The four bind together into finally the perfect spiritual character that we were put here on earth to become. So the first enemy we're to fight is our human nature. This human nature in us rationalizes cleverly. It can figure out why and wiggle and try and get out of things. It even produces deceitful and degrading impulses. Remember and understand what uncontrolled emotion is. It's an impulse which has not been reasoned and approved by the mind. You know, sometimes you say, hit the guy in the nose. Well, now, we didn't do it, so we're reasoning it, proving it by the mind. God tells you don't do it, so we don't do it. Sometimes we still think it, and then later on we don't. It's got to be approved by the mind, and it causes us to do something against God's will if we don't do it that way. Our human nature can destroy us spiritually unless we resist it and the wrong impulses. Now, the second deadly enemy is the world around us, which is to be continued.